Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us. This show is sponsored by Dixon's Chemist, who are the experts in LDN and associated treatments in the UK. Dixon's Chemist are the most cost-effective for LDN in all forms within the UK and Europe, maintaining safety standards far in excess of what is required. Why would you choose to get your LDN from anywhere else? Call 0141 404 6545 today to speak to their LDN experts. Today I'd like to welcome back Dr. Harpal Bains from the Harpal Clinic in London. Thank you for joining us today, Harpal.
Thank you. It's lovely to come back again.
So I know that you've been doing lots of amazing things and you're opening a new practice.
Yes, about three times the size of our current one, so it's very exciting, actually.
Wow. So what will you be doing in this new practice?
Basically, it's off feedback that I've been getting from a lot of my patients who we get a lot of very chronically ill patients, including cancer patients and the rest of them, and we find that a lot of them were asking or talking about things like hyperbaric oxygen chambers and infrared saunas for detox, heavy metal detoxing and cryo chambers and the rest of it. And I started getting more and more interested. And then when you go to a lot of these conferences, especially within the functional medicine world, you see a lot of this all around. And the idea came to my head that what if I had a premises that was big enough to house all of these things? Because it's not really a case of one size fits all. You'll find someone saying that cryo is the best, don't even bother with the rest because that's the best. And another person will say the same thing about the saunas. And so I don't think there's a one size fits all. However, I do believe all of them help in different ways in some cases, and they actually help towards the same end in some cases. And so why not just have it all within the same place? The difference being is that here I would have taken the trouble and done the homework so that I know the machines that I have are amongst the best out there within what we can get in the UK. And therefore, they don't have to run around and try to figure out, is this infrared sauna the right one? Is it radiating EMF rays? Is that cryo cold enough or is it one of those? So the idea is basically if we have some place that is trusted and that they can use all of them at the same time, that'll be great. And so in terms of how we intend to move forward with that is once I get all these things in, we thought that maybe one good way of going about it is to do it on a subscription basis where you could actually use any one of these machines within the same subscription for the month or that part. We have yet to completely identify how to do it, but I think that's really the best way forward. So someone who decides to come in, they will be able to try each one of the machines. And I suspect there'll be one machine where they would prefer more than another, or they might find that they work in different ways. And yeah, to actually have a one-stop center, I don't think any exists in the UK at the moment. So it's quite exciting, but we need a big enough premises for that. And we found one.
Wow. That is... truly amazing. And we interviewed your brother a few weeks ago, and he's working alongside of you now. What would you say are the main conditions that you're treating?
Within a setup that we want, initially, as I would have mentioned before, I started out with wellness medicine for someone who's fairly well but feeling the signs of aging and wants to maintain it for as long as they can. That's how we started out. However, what we found was that we were getting people who wanted hormones and were starting to, and they were ill. And before I know it, all I'm seeing is chronic diseases, autoimmunes, and the rest of it. And for me, that's, of course, extremely interesting. And therefore, it has been guided by my patients in a way, by what they feel they want. And they have, it's been completely demanded, the demand has been created by our patient population. So anything that's a chronic disease, it comes to the point where it doesn't really make a difference what it is for me that they come in with. Most likely there's something we can do for them because most of it sort of have similar basis. And for us, because we see so many different types of cases, I can start to see patterns very easily, mm-hmm. As can my brother, which for the person undergoing it, they can't, or with someone who doesn't have that level of experience, it will be harder. So it's chronic diseases, tired type syndromes, autoimmune, anything within that area.
Mm-hmm. And of course, it's rather like being Sherlock Holmes, isn't it? Is to try and find out what exactly is causing those symptoms rather than treating the symptoms. So if a patient comes to you with multiple complex condition, what's the first mm-hmm. thing you do?
So at our clinic, basically, the approach we have is very hormone and nutrition based and antioxidant based. So the way I would do it versus some other practitioners who have a slightly different angle. I think I mentioned this the last time I spoke, is that the biggest thing I find with hormones is the speed at which I get results. And in the same way, and one reason why I really love LDN is the endorphin rush. The moment you start feeling better, you get endorphin rush. The moment you get that endorphin and the rest of these feel-good neurotransmitters and hormones within your body, you start to heal in ways which you would not really anticipate and at a speed that you couldn't get doing it using purely functional medicine. This is my opinion, mm-hmm. of course.
Yes.
And when we put that together with things like nutritional interventions, once again, not outsourcing it, but the same practitioner actually doing that, which means now this practitioner has to understand that side of things as well. Get rid of all the heavy metals, the detox side of things. We actually get quite a lot of results. And at that point, I find that it works for about 70 to 80% of my patients. And then I get the remaining. With the remaining, I'm a member of BSEM, which is British Society of Environmental Medicine. That's sort of the next area I start to look at. So that's when you start to look at things like mold, heavy metals, exhaust fumes, anything and everything which could give rise to basically these environmentally relevant issues. And they are quite frequently forgotten. Not many people think of them, but they're highly, highly relevant. However, the way I practice, I tend to leave that to the last, unless it's blindingly obvious that that's a problem. Someone who just moved to a new house and then suddenly they're facing all kinds of problems. It could be fumes from the carpets, let's say, or brand new furniture, even the fire retardant material they use in furnishings. That's an issue as well. Mm. Or if they move into a really old, damp house and then the issue with mold and the rest of it, that's a huge area of study, which I would say I'm maybe 20% there. I've got a long way to go, but then, you know, if the issue is really that and if I don't feel I can handle it, there will be other practitioners I can refer them on to.
Mm. I interviewed Dr. Tom O'Brien, who talks about all the effects of the toxins, not only that are in food, in crops are sprayed, furniture, and as you said, the retardant material. But something he said, which struck me, that something that everybody can do very easily is when you're filling your car up with fuel, can you smell it? Mm-hmm. If you can smell it, move, stand the other way so that the fumes don't blow in your face. And I thought, I've never thought of that. I've just thought,
that
smells
a very good one.
Horrible. You know?
A lot of people actually
move.
Like the smell. They probably go closer because
that's
a
sniff. Yeah. I mean,
that's a good thought.
Diet is important.
Important.
So many children that you can just see that if they, that they're overweight, and if they carry on eating as they are doing, you know, they're going mm-hmm. to be a type 2 diabetic before they leave school.
Yeah.
But how do you educate people when they come to see you to recommend the healthier eating and maybe supplements? Because obviously you do blood tests and things, and if you find that they are low in certain vitamins or minerals, how do you go about trying to educate them to change the way in which they're living?
I give my patients a lot of homework. They all, most of them have to, will go home with homework.
Mm-hmm.
So, so it's one of those things. I think if they don't understand what they're doing, they're going to listen and do some things for maybe a month or 2 months, and then that's it. They'll forget and they won't do it, and then you lose the benefits of it.
Mm-hmm.
So until and unless they understand why they are doing what they are doing, it's not really, so compliance is really important here. And so in our comprehensive consultation, where it, that works out to be 2.5 hours in total for the doctor's time, initially it's 1.5 hours. There's a lot of teaching that goes on there as well. Some things are frankly blindingly obvious to us. We'll immediately know what's going on. In other people, it's a little bit hard because they're doing everything right. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to tell where they're going wrong. But on top of that, when they get their eventual report that has dietary advice as well within the report, and we allow them time to read and digest it, and then they come back for their final half an hour with us. So it, as I said, it's 2.5 hours split into two sessions, really, with the report sent to them in between, so that they have time to read, absorb, come up with all the questions they want, which they then come back and see us. And I really like doing it that way, because at the back of their heads, they are not having to keep paying out for every time they see us, mm-hmm. which is not a nice thought, but it's all encompassing. They come in once and they know they're going to get this management further on, mm-hmm. moving forward.
And I think engaging people into their own health, giving them responsibility.
Yeah.
You can advise as much as you like, but if they don't take it on board, it's not going to work, is it? So having them working with you, it's a partnership, isn't it?
Oh, totally. Yeah, yeah. Not only that, I mean, another thing that we have recently introduced and we are going to develop further is something like a health coach, not quite a health coach, but something like that, someone who's actually going to pick up the phone and ask you after you've been with us for a month, how are things, how, because from experience, what I find is that if they come across problems, most of them just stop the medication or they stop doing that certain activity and they forget. And so by having someone there slightly nagging them, it's mm-hmm. actually a really good thing. And at some point, maybe in the next 2 or 3 years, I don't see it happening this year, is to come up with an app where with prompts and the rest of it. But I think that's another level up.
So, well, we have an LDN app, remember?
That yes, you do.
You
yes.
can monitor patients and, yeah. and check and do graphs and charts and things. Perhaps
yeah.
you can have a look at that. Which
yes, I know,
help.
It's on my to-do list.
Which I'm sure is growing all the time.
Yes. Oh, yes, yeah. So, but that's in the pipeline. We are creating a software for the whole clinic as we speak. So the amount of changes, a lot of changes. A lot of the new premises is actually devoted to office space because we need it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And whereabouts are you located?
The current clinic is in Moorgate, which is between Liverpool Street and Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And the new one is about 2 minutes walk from St. Paul's Cathedral. It's a stunning location, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing about the new place is that we are building, we have disability access.
Right, okay.
So we have disabled access and the rest of it, which we can't have in our current premises.
Oh, I see. Okay. So both of them are accessible if people are coming into London by train?
Oh, yes, very, very easily. Yeah.
Mm. I mean,
so St. Paul's tube station is about a 5-minute walk away. The cathedral's right there. You've got the river, so you could make a whole day out of it.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of patients who come from either abroad or outside of the outside of London. And yeah, you could make a whole day out of it. It's really beautiful,
wow.
that area. Yeah.
I'll have to come and check it out, come and see you.
Yeah.
I don't go to London very often, but there we are. But it's a beautiful place, and especially if you're outside of England and you haven't been before, there's a lot to see
yeah.
there.
The architecture is stunning.
Mm, yeah.
It's really beautiful, yeah. And so this is a pedestrianised street as well, so there's a lot of nice things about it. It's one of those really, really old streets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we've talked a little bit about diet and supplements. What about sleep? The people that have problems with sleep, I mean, with all the iPads and smartphones and all this kind of thing. If people are having difficulty sleeping, and especially children who are staying up later and later because they're being pinged by friends on all these different platforms that they use, what is a recommended time to shut down before you go to bed, ready to go to sleep?
I think, I mean, in an ideal world, sort of like 5-6 o'clock, but you'll have a lot of people doing beyond that. I would say if you could do it about 2 hours before, you're in a pretty good place. Mm-hmm. Ideally more, but I mean, most people, they're not really going to adhere to it. And on top of that, simple things like having the night mode on it, it's called NFlux, where it turns the screen yellow, so you don't have the blue light, which is the one that affects sleep. Mm-hmm. And so that's one thing you can do. There's also these glasses that you can wear, which cuts out those lights as well. So there are quite a few things you can do to mitigate it. So despite the fact that they are still going to do it with children, it's going to be quite hard to make sure they actually listen to you. Mm. So these would be the things that you can do, because you just put it into the computer and it automatically switches it to night mode, and things like that would help. Mm-hmm. But sleep is a huge, huge problem. It's becoming increasingly big. Was actually on my list of things to do to work alongside a dentist who would be able to deal with the jaw to create these little, these things which pulls the jaw forward, and therefore it doesn't have the weight on your neck. You don't have for sleep apnea. Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. Once again, you have to go to the U.S. to get trained. And initially, I was hoping that my new premises, there'll be enough of a space for a dentist, but I don't think that's going to be. But it's within a few years, I was thinking perhaps, you know, to do sleep studies and the rest of it. Because once again, what's in NHS, it's not quite, I don't really agree with the way they assess it. Like, for them, if you're snoring a little bit, you have mild, and therefore it's okay. And I disagree with that. I think any sleep apnea is sleep apnea. It's waking you up because your body can't breathe. Mm. And there are things that you can do, but it's not a very big area yet, not in this country.
Mm. I have a problem with my jaw. When I go to the dentist, mm-hmm. open my mouth wide, it keeps dislocating. So it is so painful opening my jaw. Oh, God, when they say open wide, then they're trying to get at the back. And it goes clonk, click, and it. And ouch. I grind my teeth. But they had fitted like a gum shield that I put in. But mm-hmm. because it made, I couldn't shut my jaw completely, that ache mm-hmm. that I had at the dentist was just as bad. So I tried desperately hard not to wear it because it hurt too much, and try not to grind your teeth. Well, I mean, how do you know when you're asleep? But
I see patients like that all the time. Botox is one of the best things out there for it.
Really? How does Botox?
Absolutely brilliant.
Stop it
from relaxes
doing
the muscles. It relaxes the muscles that causes the grinding. I have patients coming in for, like, in fact, one look at someone's face, I can usually tell if they're grinders. They have these huge hypertrophic muscles on the side of their face. They have quite square faces because that muscle is sticking out in quite many. You find that after a series of Botox injections, the shape of their face changes. It'll become more rounded. The grinding at night stops, your headache stops, so many problems go away. And this is grinding down the enamel, which will cost you tons and tons of money further down the line. Such an easy solution.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Basically Botox, what a lot of people don't understand about Botox is, I've got a blog on my website actually, on how to do Botox so that it's very effective. And what you're basically trying to do is making the body lose its muscle memory. So I don't want my muscle to remember how to grind. So it lasts about 3 months. So I'm going to inject some into my jaw. Before all the action comes back, before it comes back completely, I want to go in and inject it again. Because after not doing it for, in my experience, 12 to 18 months of regularly doing the Botox, that's it. You don't remember to grind anymore just because you've forgotten how to do it. So if you want to grind, you can, but you just don't do it anymore. It's amazing. No headaches, no. And you're going to save a lot of money long term because you won't have all the dental issues moving forward.
Oh, that's
Botox,
amazing.
Botox, teeth grinding, that's an easy one. Yeah, very easy.
I've never heard of that before. So do you inject similarly to a dentist if he was giving you a local anaesthetic? Is that how it works?
Oh, no, much easier. Much easier, just on the outside, basically.
Okay.
You don't have to go in at all. Yeah. So on the outside, I will get the patient to clench, and then I will draw it out because everyone's got different musculature. It's fascinating when you start having to draw. And then I will inject the Botox basically on your jaw, really, on the outside, right below your ear, around that area.
Oh.
So, but I will draw it out and I will actually inject it in the right areas. And if you go somewhat conservative, you get really good results. You'll still be able to eat in the rest of it. It's brilliant. Not many dentists seem to know about it, but I get people coming back to me again and again and again for the same thing. No headaches, no more grinding, nothing. They come to me for that. And a small number of people come because they want a slimmer face because they have fairly square jawline and that's fairly cultural. So.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's brilliant. Definitely consider it. I think your whole your jaw dislocating as well. It's probably due to you've got some muscles which are possibly stronger than other muscles. That's another thing you could consider.
Right. Wow. As we've finished, I'm going to go and look in the mirror and see what shape my face is.
Basically, put your hands underneath your ear and clench your jaw. You could probably feel the muscle clenching.
Yes.
Just clench it and then have both hands on each side of your face just next to your ears.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll feel the muscle. Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's the one that we inject into.
Right.
It's easy. Go on YouTube. Look for videos on it. It's easy.
Mm-hmm.
I love doing it. It's such an easy procedure. Yep. And you get great results.
Well, I mean, I've seen some people have Botox and it looks really fake and really horrible and end up with funny lips and things. It doesn't have any adverse effects, does it? Doesn't change you
this
in any
way? Bit which it's really, really sad because once again, that's media. That's a media presenting Botox in such a terrible way. Do you know that, and this one, that the documented evidence is out there, for someone who does their frown lines, they actually become more pleasant to be around because they cannot frown. Therefore, the signals to the brain that tells them to frown and be angry. It is, this is documented. And I have, because we do aesthetics as well, and I've got mothers coming to me saying that I know it's fun because my kids think I look angry all the time. And it's pretty funny. But if you think about how it came up, it was discovered by ophthalmologists because they used to treat ticking of the eyes. And these patients then came back, telling the doctor that this is great. I don't have wrinkles on that side that you've been injecting, but how about the other side? And that's how it was discovered. So it's used for things like anal fissures, urinary problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's used for so many different things, but people just think of it, migraines. Migraines is a big one. People think of it as this beauty thing, which, everyone looks fake, but no, done properly, it's beautiful.
Oh, wow.
And lots of benefits, especially headaches is a big one. And not looking angry, I'm telling you, that goes every aspect of your life.
And I suppose it, you would need an experienced doctor to do the procedure.
In an ideal world, I mean, there are a lot of very good nurses out there as well who are very experienced. Definitely do not go to any beauty therapist who claims that they do it. Yeah,
yes.
No, not at all. Then quite a few dentists have started doing it as well. And it's one of those things. It really is, down to the practitioner. A good practitioner will do a really nice job. And quite frequently, you can't even tell someone has had it done.
Mm-hmm.
And that look is getting more and more popular, really. People don't like that overdone,
Yeah.
That fake. Yeah, not many people like that. But that's what's portrayed in the media. There'll be so many people who would have had it and you wouldn't even know.
Wow. Well, that.
And once again, that's endorphins. That's like LDN. You like what you see in the mirror. You're going to be a happy person. That's endorphins for you. So.
Well, we have 5 minutes left. So if you could tell us what your views are on LDN.
It's one of the most mind-blowing things I've come across. It's like I'm trying to get everyone on it. It's wonderful. my own immunity has gone up tremendously. It's like the amount of stress I've had at the moment is severe with two renovation projects going for the past few months, you know, new staff, new lots of rents to pay. And no, I haven't fallen sick, really. So something else. And all my patients tell me the same thing. And the biggest part is the small things disappear. And this is why LDN will never be that well studied, because everyone will come back and tell me something different that's now gone away that they've completely forgotten about, but I've reminded them because it's in my notes. Mm-hmm. It's all about the small things. And therefore, that really adds quality to life. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And if you can halt a progressive disease, you know, even if it doesn't help with the symptom relief, which it seems to do for many people, but even if it just halted progression, how amazing is that, you know?
And, oh, God, yeah.
And the pain.
No, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah. So if people come to you, they can expect to be told about LDN and diets and supplements, and if they grind their teeth... Botox.
I do recommend Botox, because I'm telling you, it's so good for that problem. It's amazing. They keep coming back again and I'm telling them 12 to 18 months, the moment your body forgets to do that action, you're good. After that, you probably need just a top up once or twice a year after, and that's about it. It's well worth the money, I would say, because if you think of it as a savings against future dental work, that's not worth it.
No, that's right. But this gum tooth guard, or whatever they called it, was really, really expensive. It wasn't cheap, and I couldn't use it. So it was sits in a drawer.
I never thought
so
of that.
No good.
Okay. Well, there you go. You have to research it. You'll love it.
Well, thank you very much for having been on the show today, talking to us about just about everything.
Just about, I would say, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. We hope that people will come along and see you. And your website, where would they find your details?
It's harpalclinic.co.uk.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And a question we're always asked is, do you have a waiting list?
I personally do. My brother's is shorter.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm hoping to bring that number down, and we are also hoping to maybe get another doctor in as well at some point.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, we wish you every success with your new premises and your renovations on your existing one. So if anybody is in a wheelchair, they need to go to the St. Paul's one, was it? St. Paul's?
Yeah, most likely we will have that as the main centre, because, that's where all the buzz will be, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This show is sponsored by Dixon's Chemist, who are the experts in LDN and associated treatments in the UK. Dixon's Chemist are the most cost-effective for LDN in all forms within the UK and Europe, maintaining safety standards far in excess of what is required. Why would you choose to get your LDN from anywhere else? Call 0141 404 6545 today to speak to their LDN experts. Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, Linda, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.